Hello and good afternoon. This is the Urban Farm Project. Today, May 12th, I'm James Coughlin, filling in for Bridget Lynn Dolgoff. And we have a wonderful guest today. This should be a pretty exciting show. Dave Asher from Reno, Nevada, Reno Sparks, Nevada. And Dave, how are you doing today?
I'm great. I'm here. Great to be on your show. Thanks for the invitation.
All right. Why don't you give us just a brief history? Dave has set up a beautiful website and is involved with the Reno Sparks Local Business Co-op. So this show is dedicated today to creating a new economy. And it sounds like freeing up local businesses and cities to create their own economy, starting right there in Reno.
It is. It's a model that I built after studying by local campaigns across the country, and I thank God for the internet. You know, there's so much information out there, and you can see what's going on. BALLE is a great organization, Business Alliance of Local Living Economies, and so they put together programs that create sustainable packages. It's just a hub of information to make a sustainable community from farming to fuel to, you know, energy. It's all the main sustainable components of a sustainable community. And I was studying that organization and launched the sort of a BALLE campaign, became a local chapter of that, and then just thank goodness for the internet, which is what we're on now. This is internet radio, right?
Correct.
So who's listening to us? I know they can't answer us right now, but I'm new to this station, so you probably know a little bit more about me. Who are we talking to right at this very moment?
Well, you're talking to people that are interested in, that listen to stream radio, and there's quite a bit of people that do listen to stream radio.
Excellent.
And you'll have a cross-section of people that are just kind of inquisitive to see what what programs are running on CBS radio. A lot of programs are centered on maybe more spiritual. Well, there's quite a cross section. They have a little bit of everything on CBS radio. Everything from music to UFOs to spiritual to talk shows about politics, etc.
Well, thank you. Yeah, thank you for that description. Now I have a better feel. And they're my people then that's out there, you know, people that want to be informed. And here's what I'm most about. It's the most funnest thing. I'm about solutions. My company colors are actually purple because it's red and blue. So that's my political view. The right's not getting it right, and the left's not getting it right, you know, and it's not working right. So we all know that. What are the solutions? And the solutions are purple, which is red and blue. And so I made that kind of my theme, my logos, everything's in purple. My original nonprofit I created to take this business model into the Reno Sparks area, promoting a sustainable community. And what they have at BALLE is building blocks of a sustainable community, the basic building blocks, you know, recycling, jobs, food, energy, you know, zero waste manufacturing is one of their hubs, which doesn't apply to everybody. But those are the building blocks of a sustainable community. So I learned all that 3 years ago. And just started that kind of a campaign in my area. I linked, thank goodness, to the, you know, new era of do-it-yourself websites. I pay $8 a month for a snap page template system, and it allows me to build my website and make changes and grow and add to it. And so I just became a hub in my community, and you can do this anywhere. This is a model that you can do anywhere. Become an internet hub and a networking hub of gathering all the information in the sustainable building blocks. In my case, I had 18 building blocks. I kind of went crazy. There's supposed to be 5. So what I thought was sustainable building blocks in my community, and they're in alphabetical order, is animal welfare. You got to take care of the animals. So on my website, I linked to all the local rescue groups. Then the next thing alphabetically is arts. Well, Reno is the hub of arts. We've got Art Town, which is one of the best art things. It's a week-long, I think it's a month here in Reno, downtown Reno, and there's this stuff going on 24/7. And then the next alphabetic is eco-construction. You got to make sure that they're building sustainable houses, you know, in your community. You don't want to build in junk anymore. And then education, of course, is always an issue. Energy is a main hub. Food and farming is a main hub. And in some communities, fuel. you know, is there a way to get some sustainable fuel, biodiesel, who's making it, and link all that? We have Bentley Fuels down in Carson City, south of Reno, and they are a commercial manufacturer of biodiesel, and they have a good footprint here. So, and there's several other, you know, making your own fuel is still a hot button out there. And, of course, there's all of that getting off of fuel and electric cars. So that all fits into that. And then you've got to have a local health building block. Of course, local jobs. And so I link to the local health. Everything is local. Local fuel, local health. Which one of your hospitals in your area is locally owned and which ones aren't? Because look at the difference. The money, the profit that's leaving a chain store, giant hospital in your area, the millions and millions of dollars that go through and leave your community. If you have a local nonprofit, in our case, it's Renown. It was Washoe Med, I think, since the 50s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s. Now we call it Renown. It's a local nonprofit, so none of the money from that particular hospital leaves our community. Can you imagine the difference if you know, when you shift from the chain store hospitals to all that medical expense being, you know, spent in the local, all that's paid back in payroll and reinvestment in their programs. And then you go from health to manufacturing. Well, you got jobs in there. Link to all the people that are retraining, you know, in your community. Make sure if you're looking for a job, you need to know where to go. And here's a list of all these places. You know, join is national. And then that goes into entrepreneurship, which is a whole other category of jobs. A lot of people are reinventing themselves. And so, you know, entrepreneurship is a big hot button in your community. So link to everything that's going on like that. Manufacturing, of course, stuff that's made locally. If you have local honey, you know, local candy, whatever's made local, magnify the emphasis on supporting them. Shoot, they're your neighbors. They're the ones that are working in the factories, putting the stuff that's made locally in the jars. And what that's the specialty of that, the what really makes that stand out is if you have a good in your community that's exporting, that's if you're sending a product out and having cash come back in, as far as economic development, that's huge. That's bringing cash from out of the area into your community and making your pie grow. You know, another locally owned restaurant just takes that same food pie and puts another slice in it. So it doesn't grow the economy. It just, you know, hopefully diverts some of the money from leaving the area to at least staying here. But manufacturing and those kind of sectors export goods and have cash come back in the community. Here in Reno Sparks, we have a small manufacturing hub and, you know, specialty companies. And so find out who those people are in your community and just do what you can to support them. And then the same thing with media. You've got locally owned media and you've got non-locally owned media. If you can get business owners to shift to locally owned media, that's a lot of cash. That's a lot of monthly overhead that you can go from the national media outlets to the local media outlet and make that local media outlet shine and make it the place to advertise and get customers. Then the next is, am I boring you with these building blocks?
Well, they're, yeah, actually, Dave, it's pretty interesting. And I know it's, you know, it's not much different than what actually is going on right now in our country. I mean, the way towns have been built, it's always started local. Somewhere down the line, we've switched. Just to give you an example, you know, in terms of educating, or not even educating, it's like persuasion. How can you persuade somebody to use somebody local? To give you an example, right here in my little community, no, probably no more than a couple hundred people, just constructing, building a home. Rather than using all the talent that's here, I've seen people go to a town that's 150 miles away and bring in contractor from there to build the house or the building
right
in town.
And even at the actually, what about at the county and the state levels? When the state does that, that's just absolutely absurd to take local money.
That's the perfect example. You'll see all the infrastructure.
So we just expose that,
and we get people from Idaho to build the road. What is that? How do you persuade? I mean, it's a beautiful website and everything, but I guess...
No, locally, we have the media. Our local national Gannett newspaper, the Reno Gazette Journal, RGJ, they're watchdogs on that, and we expose it, and we are calling out our politicians. You know, we're finding out who signs those checks. We're finding out if it's the county. We have an issue right now. The state's putting together state marketing. You know, we're still a tourism state, so we're putting out to bid a state marketing. Well, 8 final residents, none of them are Nevada companies, let alone Reno companies. So the media is, you know, letting everybody know. It's where you start. You got to get the message out and expose it. And the media, Facebook, you know, then you link all that stuff. And now it's a new world. When you link social media and traditional media together, which is really what's happening, and now we're on the Internet with this radio show, this is amazing. things are going to change. You know, I think the good times are coming. We're making the stand now, and this is the best year to do it. And this new information and social media just made it a whole new world.
Well, I'm going to kind of skip around a little bit, but in terms of local community, you know, one thing that struck me quite some time ago, remember Bo Jackson, the famous football, baseball player?
He ended
up in Chicago, and he ended up with a group of local businessmen where he lived in his 50,000 population community, and they started up a community bank, and they funded that bank, and it takes a while to start a bank, but they funded that bank with business owners that could afford to put investment into the bank, so that they could get in a position, you know, their whole concept was to support local businesses with little micro loans or whatever and keep the money rather than have Bank of America come in.
Totally.
And so do you have anything?
Did they achieve that? Did they actually make the loans? Did they make the micro loans and help?
You know, I'm not quite sure where they're at now, if they're even still in existence. I know it takes a long time to put something like that together. There's a bank in Santa Fe. It's called the Permaculture Bank of Santa Fe, and I know it took them about 10 years. And right now, it's a credit union, Permaculture Credit Union of Santa Fe, and you know they can make little micro loans, but there's so much involved there for banking. And but I guess the point I'm making is a local, you know, economy based on not only keeping money in local business in the local economy, but how can we create an easier way for people to use money to trade?
Well, that's the hot button, and that's where what I was telling you, this long story about all these building blocks. I finally got to a local owned business, then recycling, spiritual resources, transportation, and water. That's the 18 building blocks of a sustainable community, and I worked on that for a while. It's kind of boring and greeny and centered to the left. All of a sudden, I realized locally owned businesses is economic development and job creation. And so now I spent the last year focusing on how do you create an economy that supports local businesses and then have local businesses supporting local businesses, then have the government supporting local businesses, and you actually can turn your economy around. It's the number one way, and it requires all that effort to make it happen. And then that seeds growth and a total reversal of the spiral that a lot of communities are in. It's the number one way to create jobs. I've heard one economist after another say that. Well, what's the solution? How do you achieve that? And so I answered that with being the first guy in the country to build this website, and then I bought some search engine software, and I started loading all the locally owned businesses in the search engine for free. It was modeled after Google. Google didn't charge everybody $25, $50, $100 to be in Google. They just put you in whether you wanted to or not. They didn't even call you. So I did the same thing. I went to networking events. I used the Yellow Pages. I gathered for 2 years, and I've been gathering business cards and names, address, and phone numbers and websites of businesses that are locally owned independent. So now I have over 2,000. It's a viable directory. And now I market to my community, please shop local, and here's where you can find them all. So it's an education process to buy local, create jobs. And then they go, well, that's great. Who's local? I go over here. BuyLocalRenoSparks.com is my website. Click that search engine, and all the local businesses are listed by category. Isn't that cool? So in our little area, Reno Sparks, I'm the first one to do it for free. There's buy local campaigns everywhere, and I bless them, but they're like chambers of commerce. They only list paid members. You know, so if you don't pay, you're not, you know, if you didn't buy a telephone line, you weren't in the Yellow Pages. So the internet just makes things, you know, more special. So it kind of worked out for Google. They list everybody, so I thought I'm going to list all the locally owned. And then I have a marketing campaign. I use the press, I use social media, I speak a lot, and I have a little napkin presentation that proves how buy local creates more jobs and more money in your local economy than supporting a franchise or a chain store or shopping online out of state. You only have four places for your money to go when you buy stuff. So I show them you can't always, you know, do it, but if we can shift in all those sectors when we can, go to the local coffee shop, go to the local restaurant, buy your tires at the local tire place. Go to the local hospital. All the businesses shift to locally owned insurance agents. Everybody put your money in a locally owned bank. And guess what? You could turn your economy around. It'll work. And
so is that what you mean, you know, I remember on your website you have a list of your business concepts, and one of them was the 10% shift in 2011. Is that what you're talking about?
Yes, thanks for bringing that up. That's one of my campaigns. Now that I have this database of locally owned businesses, and my marketing campaign drives people to locally owned businesses to use the website. And if we all did that at every level, I modified a study done by a company called Civic Engineering. I lost their name all of a sudden. I'm scared because it's live on the radio. Civic Economics, I think, is the study. They went to a town. They had a successful campaign. And before and after studies were done, and they did a 10% shift, and they created $167 million. So I took that number and the jobs created from that, multiplied it times the Reno-Sparks area population and average income. If we did the same thing they did, and we can, they're just a great city, we're a great city, there's, you know, everybody's a great city, you can all do it. It just takes getting the word out, educating your neighbor that, look, you might save $1.50 by buying that item on eBay, but did you look at your local store first? Maybe it costs a little bit more, but now your neighbor still has his job. So, you know, unless it's a significant savings, you shop local first. And then you got to realize that franchises and chain stores are almost the same. And the reason I point that out is their source of goods and supplies come from out of the area. They come from the purchasing department for either the franchise or that corporation. They don't buy anything locally. Local businesses procure a lot of their goods and services from other local businesses already, and I'm just asking them to do it as much as possible. So they already are a hub in your community of sourcing goods and supplies and cash flow. Then it's the profit margin. Local-owned businesses have all the profits typically reinvested. Back, they spend it all, you know, in the town they live in. Franchise has royalties. You know, there's no secret there, 2% to 10% off the top. And then corporate profits, of course, leave the area. And then shopping online out of state is really the enemy to the economy, and that's growing. So I'm screaming from the rooftops, think before you click, no sales tax and no jobs. So, yeah, again, you're saving $1.50, but your neighbor's house is in foreclosure. You just lost $30,000. So you're losing local taxes, and taxes usually go to your school system, your fires, and you know, the police and all that, libraries. And so that's what shopping online is the enemy of. And just we just don't think of that, you know. We don't realize you got to think before you click. Am I saving a significant amount of money on this purchase? Can I get this locally? And if you can't, then of course you buy it that you buy what you need. But I just say choose local first. Support. I say go to Walmart. Go to Walmart before you shop online out of state. I may be the first buy local guy to say that. But Walmart collects sales tax. I imagine they collect a lot of sales tax, and they employ some people. It's better than shopping online.
Because that was going to be one of my questions later on as we get going, and we might as well do it now. Is okay, so now people start buying more local, and they actually did that here in one of my local communities, both in Montana. Created a...
How'd they achieve that?
A local dollar.
Well, there you go. I was going to get to that, yes.
Into downtown as opposed to going to Walmart and the big box store. All right, so let's say this is very successful 10 years from now, and all of a sudden, all those big box stores, and I don't know what they provide to the community financially, but I'm guessing that there's quite a bit of money that comes back to the local city government because of, anyway.
Yeah, license and permits.
Those box stores start going under.
Well, it's a good point. It's cyclical. But here's how this works. The economy starts this way. You have to start local first. And then with a strong local economy, you'll be able to support a strong county, a strong state, and a strong country. So I get accused of even, you know, that's favoritism. You know, that's not fair trade. But in order to regroup and survive what we're in right now, I call it reseeding. It's economic recovery to me. I think we're in a great place and we're just getting better. So economic recovery and jobs, we just have to start today. And by making a strong community, we can support those stores. We just 10% shift. They still have the other 90, so they're really not closing. We're just taking some of that money back.
Right.
And that seeds our growth for economic recovery in all the other sectors.
Sure. I'd like to get back on this little subject of persuasion. So, do you have events to educate local people, and do they come to them? I saw something on your website, 99% spring training. Is that an event that you're going to hold, or?
Well, thanks for looking. No, that was 3 or 4 weeks ago. That was a nationwide event put on by change.org. And I was, during that 1 week, I was one of 975 locations that did a 99% training, which was a 7-hour, 60-page slideshow of nonviolent, nonviolent direct action. So it was training us to be, training people to be like Rosa Parks. It was illegal for her to sit in front of that bus, and she did it anyway. Nonviolent direct action. So it was, it's sort of a part of the Occupy theme. It's a branding of the two with this spring training, because what you're going to see this spring is back to social media and back to Occupy and back to the 99%. This is going to lead up into actually altering the next election. It's just, I'm telling everybody out there, it's a whole new world. Look at this radio show we're on right now. What you can do with cell phones and YouTube, you know, was used slightly in the last election, strongly by Obama, President Obama. But you're going to see the next one, it's going to really have a big difference. It should help President Obama. I think it's going to help Ron Paul. You'll see a strong Ron Paul resurgence. Of course, it's an uphill battle for him. But I think the Occupy and the 99% are going to get way behind him, and it's going to spread like wildfire. I hear the rumblings here in Reno. You know, the Republicans are upset. The convention's coming up, and they're steadfast, not going to move, you know, delegates for Ron Paul. And, you know, just that's my little prediction for the politics. And with the three-way race, you can win with, what, 36, 37, 38%? So,
you know,
it's a three-way race.
He's going after the right generation, because he's going after the younger people, and that's what we need to shift, older people.
Well, they have the tool.
So they can come in and get jobs and create the future they want. So this all fits in real nice,
So that's my little political prediction. I jump from the right and the left. I'm looking for solutions. Whenever I'm interviewed, I get a lot of radio interviews here locally and a lot of press, and I've even been on radio shows where you got a right-wing nut job on one side and a left-wing nut job on the other, and I'm sitting there in the middle looking for solutions for my community, and I'm telling you, I come out looking smart, because, you know, they say, well, look at what Obama did for taxes. Or, you know, the recent restructuring. Well, I found solutions for our area. He's giving tax breaks to businesses that go back into manufacturing. Well, that's one of the hubs that Reno wants to concentrate on. We're trying to divert our economy from gaming. The Indian casinos have really put the damper on our local economy, plus what happened to the country. They both happened at the same time. We've been a tourism-based town for, you know, generations. And the Indian casinos just, you know, put the hurt on that. So they're still surviving down there, but it's not the basis. So we need manufacturing. President Obama made a special section to give them tax credits, special, you know, alliances. So, you know, I said thank you for that. That he's just doing what we need. He's helping us grow our local economy. That's a positive. Of course, the right wingers weren't getting it. The left wingers weren't getting it. It was just interesting. What are the solutions for your community? Is what it's about. It's not a right wing or left wing program. I say it's about the whole bird. The whole bird is the solution for every community, and every community is different. So buy local first. Focus on your community. Be strong, and shop at Walmart before you shop online out of state. I don't think anybody'd miss if these online businesses started, you know, losing a little bit, and the local businesses started gaining. So it's just a shift, you know. Everybody will still exist. I tell everybody go to local coffee shops, but we're not going to close any Starbucks. You know, it's just not going to happen. But if we can shift that coffee money to a local shop and keep them open, those profits are reinvested in the community. They're the ones who are buying the sign at your softball league. They're the ones that are, you know, supporting your local church. The money that's spent there, the other local restaurants, they go out to eat. They pay property taxes. Local business owners have the biggest houses in town. They pay more property tax. So help them buy big homes. Is that a whole new campaign, huh?
So, yeah. Involved with you directly, or is this just something separate from the Chamber of Commerce?
Well, thanks for bringing that up. What I did is create a different business model. I started off in the local chambers of commerce. We have two towns that are side by side, Reno Sparks, and there was two chambers, and I networked in both of them, and networking was fun, and I'm frequent by local, and I'm looking for business cards from locally owned businesses to give them a free listing. What I did was amazing, to go find local businesses and put them in a directory and then tell them they're in the directory and tell everybody to use the directory. And we added a new component. So I did the buy local thing right in the Chamber of Commerce, right under their nose. Then I added a new component that's a software that we have that manages this database. It's Chamber Nations, Chamber of Commerce Management Software. We added a module the first of the year, a Green Business Chamber of Commerce. So this software allows to not only promote local businesses, but promote green businesses by taking a pledge and then an online presence and the logo and a Going Green program. So we added the name Green Business Chamber of Commerce because we're now the local chapter of that. And I went, oh, shoot, now I'm a Chamber of Commerce. I was a local business cooperative in the beginning, gathering business names of local businesses and then promoting B2B. And then I created a Chamber of Commerce out of it, the Green Business Chamber of Commerce, and now I'm getting memberships. And it's, I buy the software. It pays myself to be the director. And all the money that we receive from membership is re-spent back in driving people to our directory and educating on buy local. So we educate the consumer, buy local, and then I go, oh, and here they are listed for you. We have another campaign where we're putting these big posters, they're 2 feet by 3 feet, and then smaller, in the windows of all locally owned businesses, giant yellow signs that says locally owned business. So we're identifying, you know, it's one thing to say buy local, but we're really going out of our way to identify who's local. So between the free listing on my website at buylocalrenospark.com, between these posters in the windows, and I just started that campaign this year, by the end of this year, I'll have 700, 800 of those posters in windows where when you drive by, you can see these posters. And then I'm educating consumers whenever I can in our community, choose local first. It's either locally owned or it's not. And, you know, a lot of businesses say, you know, if it's a chain store insurance company and they're the ones working there, or chain store, you know, real estate company, Remax or Prudential, whatever, but we're local agents, we're local this. But no, your parent company's not based here. In fact, I tell them if you're the Walmart of real estate sales. And so I don't win a lot of friends that way when they're the ones that work there. But it's the truth. It's a corporate-supported local business that does it. Well, Walmart hires local people. Is my response to that when they say, well, we hire local people, and I say, so does Walmart. So it doesn't always go over if they're the employees of those places.
Well,
but then I asked
them. That's a very good point that you bring up, because if you don't mind me interrupting here for a sec.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got, you know, I don't know, how many people are in Reno Sparks? You have 50, 100,000? I mean, it's huge.
No, we have 300,000.
300,000?
Yes.
Okay. So, and this might be small thinking here, but I'm looking at a smaller community. So where you can go and get involved in the local government, the local mayor and board of the, you know, local board, et cetera, and get people involved, you know, in terms of local businesses. How small can you go? I mean, do you have the chamber's blessing or your state, your county and city government blessing? And
well, thanks for
you can actually go in and say, you know, how about changing some zoning laws so we can have more cottage industries in this neighborhood over here where there's a bunch of artists, et cetera, so that they can, or whatever, to manufacture. And you see where I'm heading with this?
Well, I am, and
how
I'm,
can you coordinate?
Well, I know. So here's, I'm living the scenario you're bringing up. I went to the county commissioner. I said, you better buy local, I'm watching. I went to the city commissioner and the mayor's. I said, you better buy local, I'm watching. And they all get it. They're all, you know, I get an applause when I'm done. They all love it because it creates jobs, and that's where your money comes from.
Yeah.
But the other chamber is not happy with me because I have my hand out for membership money just like they do. And, you know, it could be tough out there. There's always, somebody with their hand out for marketing. And I just say, look, if you want to, I give you a free listing. If you want to join, if you want to support the cause, pay for the ROI. What I have is a software program that builds every member in my chamber a website. And this website lets you put your product and services online with a shopping cart. So now a mom and pop that didn't even have a website now has a website. It's a template system that we have that just magnifies their presence on the Internet in a huge way. It totally SEOs them. Then we create social media campaigns. So my benefit for my chamber versus, and the other chambers doing what they do, all the things you said, making sure that the politicians are in line. But as you know, most chambers are linked with the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. If you're a real chamber, the major chamber in your community, they're linked to U.S. Chamber of Commerce. And
right.
Google them. I bet a lot of our listeners either know about that. They're one of the hugest, biggest lobbying efforts in the country, in Washington, D.C. And, you know, some of it's not for the stuff that we agree with. So I'm not associated with the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. And you can still be a Chamber of Commerce. That's not a name that's, you know, patented or owned by anybody. So the Wikipedia definition of a chamber is a group of businesses gathered together to advocate a cause. You know, it reads like that. So I'm a local chapter of a national green business chamber of commerce, so I added the name Chamber of Commerce to my DBA. And my business model was still gathering local businesses in a cooperative, is what I called it first. I didn't call it a chamber. But I did this right underneath the nose of the other chamber. So what I'm telling people is in other cities, and in every city all the way across the country, coast to coast, you can do what I did. You don't have to use my software, but if you want, it works. My software allows me to list every locally owned business for free in alphabetical category. I have a website that drives people to that. And then in that, I can upsell these landing pages to paid members, and you're featured in the directories. So all of that's in one software package. And so now you have a means to support the marketing campaign. You can create this cooperative in underneath the nose of every chamber coast to coast. I didn't want to put it that way, but I did it here. Underneath the nose of your local chamber affiliated with the National Chamber of Commerce, typically a right-wing agenda. They do support local businesses, but look at their sponsors. They're almost all 60-40 corporate America local businesses or heavier, you know, 70-30. So who are they going to favor when it push comes to shove? The money's coming from corporate America to sponsor most of those. And I'm different. I won't feature any of that. I feature locally owned businesses. If I don't take their money, then I won't take their cause. So it kind of makes it a different program. I can't be bought. I can be bought by a locally owned, you know, if he wants, and I'll go out and yell locally owned. I'm doing it for free. So what I built is it's actually a business model. Some crazy nut like me in every city needs to manage this database. It takes a person to discern locally owned or not in your community. There's no list. What I came up with was the actual first one in the country. A list of who's locally owned. You can't buy it. You can't buy it from the business license. You can't buy it from the yellow pages. You can't buy it from, you know, the chambers. They don't separate it. So in my program, you're either locally owned or you're not. And I have a category for local franchises. I'll list them in my directory, but it's under franchises, not under, you know, hamburger stand. And I also have another category called friends of locally owned in my directory. You cannot be locally owned like Whole Foods, but be friends of locally owned because they do procure as much as they can locally. It's part of their business model, and they're green. So I can take their money and support them, but I don't put them in the grocery store part of my category. I put them in my directory. I put them in friends of locally owned. So I've got this directory system down for supporting local businesses. Then you've got the posters. So what I've done here, you can do in every city, coast to coast. Then when we link this all together, we'll have a directory of everything made local, coast to coast. And if it's made local, it's made in America. So then the offspin of this directory, once it goes coast to coast, is this is a directory of things that are made in America. Pretty cool, huh? That'll take a couple
of
years.
Yeah, it is. In fact, I'm glad you brought that up. That's going to be one of my questions, you know, choosing locally owned first, you know, educating customers so that they think they're manufactured, produced, and the services are all local within the community, and then eventually you have made in America.
Yes. You just dissect the dollar.
Yeah, I would just want to backtrack a little bit, and campaigns that you have is moving your money into locally owned banks like credit unions. I mentioned earlier the Permaculture Credit Union in Santa Fe, for instance, and the bank that Bo Jackson started in the Chicago area. So that's a terrific idea. Get your bank money out of, you know, the Banks of America.
It's huge.
And the
it's
credit
huge,
unions
yes.
have way better programs, you know, in local credit unions in a lot of ways, different types of loans that you can pick up from them, smaller loans, and a lot of different programs that they can make adjustments where a big bank can't do it.
You're exactly right. And like every other locally owned business, the profits from that, either locally owned bank or credit unions, their charters are, you know, all the money is reinvested back into that credit union. But you do have to check credit unions. You can, they can, you know, be part of a multi-state program. So you really want to support the local independent credit unions that are based there in your community. But you're exactly right. But what I found, I was screaming from the top of my lungs, move your money now, please. You're defunding the enemy, the top five, you know, banks that had a big part to go wrong with what our local, with what our, you know, economy is in now. And your money's still in there? I mean, isn't that the craziest thing? I can't believe anybody still does business with Bank of America or Citibank or, you know, how dense can you be? Yet the message is tough to get out there. And so when I'm being interviewed on a lot of print interviews for the most part in the beginning, and I had that as my message, that seemed to get deleted. You know, the whole buy local thing would get in the story. Why didn't they tell everybody to move their money? I'm screaming, move your money. I named who's local. You know, our local Heritage Bank and the three credit unions that are locally owned. I name their names. If your money's not in there, you're not in a locally owned bank. What I found was that it was deleted in the first few interviews I got. I'm thinking, why is that? Then you flip through the page. The next one's a Wells Fargo, that full-page ad. Next one's Bank of America, full-page ad. They can't print a story like that because they're taking the money for advertising. That's why, I guess that's why Wells Fargo buys full-page ads. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So I learned not to really scream too loud, move your money. You know, I still do, but it was costing me press. So I thought, well, shoot, for one industry, the banking industry, which I just, you know, it's the first cause in every community. You must move your money to local banks. But I'm the guy that's got the trumpet promoting that. I'm trying to get as much press as I can possible. So at not losing any speed for supporting all the other local categories, you know, auto shops and grocery stores, I kind of let go of the banking issue a little bit. I'm not screaming it so loud because I need the press. I need the press to promote the buy local. And I'm telling you, it's been a hot button, and the press, local press has been very good to me. I've never in my life, until I started this campaign, been in the media. And, man, you know, you Google me, I've got, I don't know, 30 or 40 articles in the local newspapers, local radio shows, couple TV interviews. I do a thing in the holidays, you know, keep your money home for the holidays. It's about economic development and job creation. So instead of buying a stupid thing, you know, made in China at Walmart that somebody may even like or not, you know, you can get a lot of cool stuff there. But if you go to something like a local, you know, your local eclectic stores that takes the local thrift store kind of stuff, but upscale a little bit, those make great gifts. If you buy that kind of stuff that's repurposed, all of the money stays in your local community. You didn't send any of it out to buy anything. You bought something from somebody local, going to stay local. You know, give away your local honey. Give away your local candy. Give away the local cupcakes and muffins for gifts. So, every year I do that at the holiday time, starting in November, and I call it Keep Your Money Home for the Holidays. So it's just a shift, you know. Get it out there when you can, but that got me a little press and a cover of a newspaper for the first time. So it's very exciting. If there's anybody out there that wants to do, you know, is a leader and wants to start a campaign like this. So to answer your question, I call myself a Chamber of Commerce. I am a legitimate, for-cause group of businesses that can make change. You know, we can help create jobs. It's a marketing campaign to educate the consumer to buy local. It's a directory that lists everybody local, and it's a poster in every locally owned business and a bumper sticker on the back of every car saying, you know, buy local equals jobs. And,
do you have anything set up with some of your local businesses where they have a local dollar or anything like that?
That's on my list of things to do. You know, it's a little complicated, and I'm grateful for every city that pulled that off. But that's my next step. I do work with local barter, which is all B2B. You know, I just got a windshield. I trade for memberships. My memberships are $250 a year, and for that I build you a website. You're invited to a whole bunch of B2B networking events. I will make sure you make more than $250 for doing business with me, you know, hopefully a lot of money. So with that, you get the websites, but I forgot what direction I was going there. I got off. I love the websites, the software that I have that promotes this. So you can do this in every city, and I'm ready to expand. So you need a person in every city like me to separate it, use this software, list everybody for free, put the posters up, become a chamber of commerce, which I call a local business cooperative, and be a part of the National Green Business Chamber of Commerce. And so you're doing both green and sustainable and all the good stuff. You just become an internet hub for all that. I manage a huge social media, you know, the first thing you do when you want to go into business for yourself is, you know, discern who your market is. Well, for a buy local campaign, your market is every man, woman, and child with a dollar in their hand. So my market is truly huge. It's everybody. And so you have to do all you can to get the press. You do all you can to get in the news. You show up and speak. I speak whenever I can. So it takes somebody like me in every city to help spread the word. I'm the crazy buy local guy. And you know, and there's plenty of other people doing it too. And you could go, oh, look, they're doing it. And, oh, no, I'm supposed to be doing it. They're not doing it. But no, I bless everybody that promotes buy local as much as possible. Even the, I call it local washing. Which bank is it? Citibank that has that Small Business Saturday? Is it American? It's American Express, isn't it? Small Business Saturday. It's a giant national campaign. It's on TV. Support small businesses. Everybody go buy this Saturday. And if you use your Citibank credit card, you'll get bonus points. It's local washing. They could give a darn. It's called Small Business. Small Business Saturday. It's small business washing. They could give a darn about supporting that. They're just pushing their credit card usage. So it's a great campaign for them, and it makes people do it. I still bless them for saying anything that's positive about buy local and support small business. Here in Nevada, 87% of our companies, registered companies in Nevada, have 4 employees or less. So, and I imagine that's it's like that probably in a lot of places. There's a lot of mom and pops. There's a lot of onesie-twosies. And so that's the backbone of your community, and that's shifting. So if we can do what they did in Cincinnati, Ohio, and have a successful 10% shift by getting the media, getting the word out, educating just enough people, buy local for the holidays, tell the politicians, do it whenever possible, please. And the same thing with other businesses. You can't buy your printing online anymore. You have to buy it from another print shop, the local print shop. You have to move your money to the local bank. And the local bank has to step up and say, I'll take care of my other local businesses. You know, I'll do the best I can to provide the services they need for their business. So it's just a wonderful thing. It's solutions.
Mm-hmm. It's fantastic. And talk about solutions. We've got about 10, 15 minutes left here. What I want to touch on is a couple categories here. For a sustainable community, to me, we're talking manufacturing, mm-hmm. food. And then keeping things local like that, and maybe trade, you know.
Sure, buy local.
Mm-hmm. Labor, everything local. And I noticed on your website, in your Green Business Chamber of Commerce section on your website, I just want to touch on, you said you were going to do something that they're doing in Seattle, building a massive edible forest, a food forest.
Well, they did that. That's actually a blog off my Facebook, one of my pages. I run one for the Green Chamber, and I run one for the local co-op. So that's on my home page, I guess, huh?
It said, we will be doing this in Reno also. We have
that, yes.
Going to put on staff.
You know, and all I did was put the word out, but I have a huge mm-hmm. Facebook campaign here. I have almost 2,000 local friends, and I said, we're doing this here, because I'm validating being a Chamber of Commerce, so I'm saying, mm-hmm. we'll do it. Well, because I put the word out, all I did was spread the word. There's people stepping up.
So
oh, we'll help. Oh, we're it's all falling into place. We're creating
a web of, I'm sorry to interrupt you. Do you have a web of farmers and growers that are connected?
Oh, we do. We already have that. We're a real strong community for farmers markets. But what mm-hmm. a food forest is, if it's based at, like the one in Seattle, it's 5 acres, and it's homeless people, you know, tending garden and eating what they grow. There's no, you're just doing what you can to alleviate hunger. So you take these food forests, you get volunteers to grow the stuff, and you spread the word, spread the food to those who need it. And, you know, that keeps all the money here. You know, you don't need cheese from the government. You need a local tomato and a local zucchini, you know,
Boy,
to become sustainable.
I'm glad you said that, because that was going to be one of my questions, is how are you going to get people that are less fortunate involved? You know, they don't have money to spend. They might have food stamps or whatever, but they might not have, how do you get them involved? And this is a terrific solution, building a food forest that they can get.
Yes, well, we have our certain percentage of homeless, like most cities do, you know, and we're always looking for ways to feed them, and they'd probably be starving if it weren't for the local missions and the, you know, we have local charities and local volunteer groups that go, you know, I don't want to say slop out the food. They actually eat pretty good. But but they, you know, they make these long benches of food and hand it out to them. And so these, even, you know, everybody deserves a meal. But, you know, if they have money to spend, please, by all means, spend it at a local grocery store when possible, not the chain store. You know, if you got to buy whatever you're going to buy at all times, that's how we all participate in this together. What I do is I have this speech that I give that's quite long, about 10 minutes, and I say, you know, my car's broken down. I'm taking it to the local coffee shop, auto shop. You know, I got to have a business meeting. I'm going to have it at the local coffee shop. I got to buy some tires. I'm going to buy them from the local tire shop. You know, I need my pruning done. I go on like that until it drives everybody crazy, but I brainwash them into remembering, oh, the buy local. And so I do that. And you have to educate everybody all the time. It's top-of-mind awareness. So whether it's the bottom of the food chain or the tip-top, everybody is my market. Everybody's my neighbor. And so I point at the camera and I say, I trust in the intelligence of my neighbor. Having heard a different view, having been educated on the facts that out of every 100, you know, 68 stays in the local economy if you spend it at a local store, and it's down to 43, you know, it's about a 25% difference. That profit margin that leaves the area is a 25% hit. Imagine adding 25% to your economy. That turns it around. And it's those profits that leave your area right now. So just shift a little bit of that. Turn it back.
It's a very conscious effort. You know, just to give you a quick example here, our local chamber of commerce, I'm in a town, my closest town is about 14,000. And they came out with these little, like a credit card, and they called it Park County Dollars. It wasn't a coupon or anything, no discount, nothing like that. Which that was a little, you know. Oh,
really, no discount?
Something there, yeah, no discount. I couldn't believe it. And they had a hard time getting local businesses to actually do anything. But they did have a list of probably, oh, I don't know, 50 businesses that got involved. And but consciously, I like to give my accountant a tip every year, and usually it's a dinner for him and his wife. And certificate. And I'm thinking, well, I'm going to take this Park County Dollar, so they're forced to have to use it right here in our city, in our town. But it was a conscious effort to do that. I could have easily just gone and get certificates somewhere from some restaurant in Bozeman, you know, 50 miles away or whatever. You know, but
it's a shift that we can achieve whenever possible. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have people that, you know, there's always one in the crowd. When you do these kind of lectures, and you know it's a half hour or so, and you promote that, well, that's favoritism, and you know it won't work. And so I just remind them, no, it's just a shift. You shift when possible. I'm not going to close any Starbucks, but then I say, I thank you for assuming that I'd have 100% penetration and response to my idea here of buying local. So I thank you for thinking that I'm that good, sir. I'm not. I just say this is a shift. I have to scream it as loud as I can so that some of you hear it. Because not all of you will remember, not all of you will agree, and not everybody will get the message or hear the message. So it's just, how do you tell? It takes a mass marketing campaign to create that 10% shift. And so I'm the organization that's, you know, now I'm becoming, you can make these a nonprofit, go for PSAs. You need billboards, you need bumper stickers. And you tell everybody, buy local when possible. Back to the local currency, that is, like I said, we have a local barter company, and I do promote that. That's local currency, B2B, and the barter company makes a little middleman fee for handling it, and that's okay, too. So that solves that problem on the B2B.
How do you do that?
There's several barter organizations, and that's just a software system. It's an exchange. You know, if you're a janitor, you go clean, you know, you do a job, you clean a house. I've done it. I've had you get the house cleaned and you spend the dollar. I receive membership dues instead of cash. You can use trade dollars. So you can join my chamber of commerce with trade dollars, and then, you know, we can spend it on getting the carpets cleaned, spend it on buying, you know, stuff that we need, like printing. And, you know, then you can get some concrete done. You know, so a hairdresser does it for trade, and then you can only spend trade dollars. You receive trade dollars and you spend trade dollars. And that's how you know, don't lose any money in the economy. That's actually in every city. There's franchises that do that. National chains, they're almost in every city. ITEX, IMS. I look for the local one. Hopefully that one is a spinoff of the chain store version you know, is locally owned, so all the money stays locally. But the next step is what you were talking about, is a card system. And there are successful business models out there. typically you get a discount. So the business might sign up for $200 or something like that, $199, and now they're part of it, and then you issue this card, and they're free to the consumer. Use these cards, and you get a 5% discount. So
yeah.
the sign up gives you the marketing material to promote the cards. The cards then become self-sustaining on driving new consumers to the local businesses, and you favor them because you get a little discount. You know, they're usually more expensive, because they can't buy things in the volume that a franchise and a chain store does. So that little discount offsets that a little bit, and you get new customers. So it's called creating local currency. Another thing that's big right now is creating local, you know, community capital. Like you said about the banks, the local loans. Create community capital and then fund local entrepreneur startups. There's a lot of books out there on economic development. Michael Schumann, who is the economist on staff with BALI, Business Alliance of Local Living Economies, and I sit in a lot of his webinars and learn these kind of things. You know, take the assets of your community, a bunch of vacant buildings like every city has. Those are assets. Those are places to expand. You know, you're unemployed or is a workforce ready to be hired. So turn your community situation into assets and then magnify what it takes to, you know, achieve getting those people hired. Same thing with the whole program, the whole sustainable program. Just plug people in.
Let's backtrack just a tad here, and we got the vacant building there. Now, how can we get this asset working? And now you've shifted your money into a local credit union, okay? And
yes.
Now you've got local people needing jobs. And
you buy from the local farmers market.
Start a business, any kind of business. It could be a laundry, dry cleaning business that is a profit-sharing business. So the people that are working there, they own the business.
Well, that's a great model.
There's 10 owners.
That's exactly what needs to happen.
Yeah.
So as much as possible, you know, whatever works in your community. We have a real short growing season here because, you know, we have a nice winter. We're right below Lake Tahoe. So we do get it's cold. We have a short growing season. A lot of our produce comes from California. But we have to grow what we can, when we can, to keep – those are local jobs. So just every community has different hubs that you can support, maybe local health care. You know, that's an untapped resource. Create a local currency to keep the money in your community. Somebody needs to create a directory listing all the locally owned businesses. It's not that hard to do. My software allows me to do it, and you can contact me at buylocalrenospark.com. And you know, I have the software package that allows you to list every locally owned business for free, allows you to list make a landing page for every business that becomes a member. So it gives you a tool to, you know, create a business model out of this, a chamber of commerce, if you will, local and green. I have that software ready. We're ready to expand into 300 to 500 cities, this green business chamber of commerce, and create this hub of locally owned businesses. So I'm the first one. Isn't that great? I'm the first one. It's my business model here in Reno. And I created the website, buylocalrenospark.com, and it turned from a website into now the governor knows who I am because I'm part of economic development and job creation. One of those building blocks was supporting local businesses. I kind of still do all the other ones, the local fuel, the local health, the local jobs, the local, you know, everything else, local recycling. I just link to people that are doing that. But I'm leading the Buy Local campaign, and I have the tools to make that succeed in every community.
What I'm hearing you say is that you might be available if somebody in another community, another town, wants to get set up just like you got set up with the software and everything. You would be willing to assist that person, consultant or whatever?
I'm putting the actual program together. We're a couple of, maybe a month away from launching. I'm going to end up being, if it all goes right, the national headquarters for the Green Business Chamber of Commerce. And we're hoping to open up in 300 to 500 cities a new business model of a chamber of commerce linking green businesses and local businesses all together on one database. And I'm ready. We're ready. We have the servers in place, the customer service. We build these landing pages. They're self-taught. We teach business owners how to imagine a business owner having a website that they can update, put coupons on, link to their social media, and list all of their inventory on with a shopping cart, hook it to your PayPal account, and now you're selling stuff on the Internet. So all of this is included in the software package that I have. What it was Chamber of Commerce software. I just loaded it with locally owned. The software doesn't know. I created a new product, a Buy Local campaign, for Chamber of Commerce Software Company. Isn't that funny? I'm the first one to do that.
What I really like, Dave, is the fact that all right, you've already created this footprint. You know, it's like, okay, why reinvent the wheel? So somebody that this makes it easy for somebody to be motivated in their local community to give you a call.
Yes, and it's actually a profitable business model.
Yeah, I
make a living at this.
Right.
My goal is 1,000 members at 250 a year. Well, out of that 250,000, you know, my overhead is an office and some software and mm-hmm. you know, sales commission. There's a good living in there for me.
Yeah.
That's a big goal. 1,000 businesses in my area is a big goal, but I'm mm-hmm. doing pretty good.
Yeah.
So I would love to show this to anybody in any other city. Go to the website, buylocalrenosparks.com, and then just click the contact us. I'm the us. So I'm a one-man chamber of commerce, and it's almost all internet. And then I just have the blessing of, I've done a lot of spinoffs from this. Entrepreneurship is huge. Well, now I have an entrepreneur incubator and co-working space. Instead of renting an office, what I did is I took a big office in a building that had a vacancy, and I started renting desks out in it and created a co-working space for entrepreneurs. So that's where I headquarter my business. I'm just paying for a desk, but I have the access to this beautiful office and a boardroom and a classroom, and you know, it just worked out. So that it's just all a blessing what I'm doing here in Reno, that it can be done in any other city. You know, you need to be able to promote this. Somebody like me that's crazy and going to commit to it and try to make a living at it. And it's a feel-good job. I can't wait to go to work. I love my area. I'm the local crazy local guy. And I win the argument almost every time. I don't convince everybody, but I am the solution. My company colors are purple. And I'm this is a solution. Buy local is the solution. And then
there you go, folks.
Yes,
there you go, folks. Dave Astor, he's ready. You've got to contact him. If there's anybody listening out there that wants to start something in their local community, I would suggest that you call Dave 775-224-2242, or go to Dave's live. What is it, Buy Local, Dave?
I have two domain names. Yeah, buylocalrenosparks.com gets it there, and it's actually Live Local. That was the name of my first company, and I noticed that I didn't know it until after I created it. I have a branding issue. It could be Live or Live. I went, oh, shoot, two different words for the same spelling. So livelocalrenosparks.com or buylocalrenosparks.com.
Right. Terrific.
Thank you.
Well, that wraps up this show. This is an exciting show. I'm all revved up. You got me excited, Dave. Thank you for your time. This is a beautiful show, and you're an inspiration. Bridget will be having a show on the 19th of May, I think. It's the 24th of May, The Urban Farmer. So definitely join in the future. I thank all the listeners out there, if there was anybody listening. And all I have to say at this point is adios. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Everybody, have a great life.